I'm Ed Schoenfeld with a look at some of Southeast Alaska's top stories of 2015. Driving onto the car deck of the Fast Ferry Fairweather usually brings clanks and clunks as metal meets metal. But you can't hear that noise now, and may not for the foreseeable future.
The fast ferries are expensive to operate.
Alaska Marine Highway System spokesman Jeremy Woodrow broke the news in June as officials scrambled to absorb spending cuts.
Whether they go into service past June 30 for next summer season is to be determined based on what the proposed budget will be.
That budget, from Governor Bill Walker, drops both fast ferries as well as two larger, slower ships. It's not final, but it drastically reduces service. Sandy Wagner of the Alaska School Activities Association warned the changes would keep some sports teams from playing.
The cuts they've already made have had an impact, and the fact that they're going to make more cuts will have even a greater impact.
The system dodged a bullet at the end of the legislative session when a last-minute compromise reduced deep cuts, allowing it to maintain most of its published schedule. But that was a temporary fix. Fewer ships are sailing this winter, and deeper cuts will come in the summer. Cuts of another kind were also on the table in 2015. The U.S. Forest Service developed plans to transition Southeast's logging industry from old to younger growth harvests.
Well, I don't think anybody sitting in this room has illusions that we're going to go back to the glory days of the timber industry.
Logging advocate Shelley Wright was one of hundreds of people lobbying an advisory committee that helped develop a new Tongass National Forest land management plan. The committee wrapped up its work in May, and in November, the agency released a plan for a 16-year transition to mostly young-growth logging. Some, including Petersburg commercial fisherman Eric Grunberg, said it was a waste of time.
The whole thing is to support an unsustainable export timber industry. I think the time is now to stop old-growth logging and start being realistic about what really drives this region.
Southeast Alaska also saw growing concerns in 2015 about transboundary mining. One British Columbia project on a river flowing into the region opened, while another took a significant step forward. Tribal leader Rob Sanderson Jr. was among those lobbying the state to slow development and win a larger voice in permitting decisions.
We're not doing this for our present day. We're doing this to protect our environment for our children, our grandchildren.
Lieutenant Governor Byron Mollant started an internal state working group in February. He traveled to British Columbia in May to press the state's concerns, and the province's top mining official visited Southeast in September. As the year neared its end, the two governments signed an agreement to work together to address mine safety and pollution threats. Critics said it lacked teeth, but Mollant said the state could only go so far.
Alaska has no triggers to pull that would allow immediate action.
Mining opponents continue to call for federal involvement that could strengthen Alaska's options. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.